Welcome to Unknown Blackness Journey, where we reflect, not deflect, inspire love, not hate. I'm Jazz, your host, friend, and supporter. Let's get to it. Thank you for listening. Hey, you guys. So remember when we were talking about this book called The Game of Life? And this book is by Florence Scovel Shinn. This book was written, this book was published in the 1925. This book has inspired thousands of people around the world to find a sense of purpose and belonging. It's assertive that life is not a battle, but a game of giving and receiving. And that whatever we send out into the world will eventually return to us. So I wanted to, like I said, read this book to you guys. So we're going to do this in segments, okay? We're not going to do the whole book right out, okay? So I hope everyone learns something from this. They get something from this. So we're going to do it part by part. And for this first one, we're going to go to chapter one, and we're going to go on from there. So I may do chapter one in two parts, chapter two in two parts. Like, it depends on how long each chapter is and how long I can make each segment, which I think is about 30 minutes when I'm doing it from the web. So we got about 20 minutes. Let's see. We have about 20, 25 minutes. That way we can put in everything else. Okay. So chapter one of The Game of Life and How to Play It. Most people consider life a battle. But it is not a battle, it is a game. It is a game, however, which cannot be played successfully without the knowledge of spiritual law. And the Old and New Testament give the rules of the game with wonderful clearness. Jesus Christ taught that it was a game of giving and receiving. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This means that whatever a man sends out in word or deed will return to him. What he gives, he will receive. If he gives hate, he will receive hate. If he gives love, he will receive love. If he gives criticism, he will receive criticism. If he lies, he will be lied to. If he cheats, he will be cheated. If he was cheated, he will be cheated. We were taught also that the imaging faculty plays a leading part in the game of life. Keep thou heart or imagination with all diligence, for out of it are issues of life. And that is Proverbs 4:23. This means that man images sooner or later externalizes in his affairs. I know of a man who feared a certain disease. It was a very rare disease and difficult to get. But he pictured it continually and read about it until it manifested in his body, and he died the victim of distorted imagination. So we see to play successfully the game of life, we must train the imagining faculty. A person with an imagining faculty trained to image only good brings into his life every righteous desire of his heart. Health, wealth, love, friends, perfect self-expression, his highest ideas. The imagination has been called the scissor of the mind. In all of its cutting day by day, the pictures man sees there, and sooner or later he meets his own creation in his outer world. To train the imagination successfully, man must understand the workings of mind. The Greeks said, "Know thyself." There are three departments of the mind: the subconscious, the conscious, and the superconscious. The subconscious is a simple power without direction. It is like steam or electricity, and it does what it is directed to do. It has no power of introduction. Whatever man feels deeply or imagines clearly is impressed upon the subconscious mind and carries out a minute detail. For example, a woman I know, when a child, always made believe she was a widow. She dressed up in black clothes and wore a black long veil, and people thought she was very clever and amusing. She grew up and married a man with whom she was deeply in love with. In a short time, he died, and she wore black and a sweeping veil for many years. The picture of herself as a widow was impressed upon her subconscious mind, and in due time worked itself out regardless of the havoc created. The conscious mind has been called mortal or carnal mind. It is the human mind and sees life as it appears to be. It sees death, disaster, sickness, poverty, and limitations of every kind. It impresses the subconscious. The superconscious mind is the God mind within each man, and it is the realm of perfect ideas. In it is a perfect pattern spoken by Plato. I said Plato, Plato. The divine design, for there is a divine design for each person. There is a place where you can feel, there is a place that you are to feel and no one else can feel, something that you are to do, which no one else can do. There is a perfect picture of this in the superconscious mind. It usually flashes across the conscious as an idea, something too good to be true. In reality, it is man's true destiny or destination. It flashes into him from the infinite intelligence which is within himself. Many people, however, are ignorant to the true destinies and are striving for things in situations which do not belong to them and would only bring failure and dissatisfaction if obtained. For example, a woman came to me and asked me to speak the word that she would marry a certain man with whom she was very much in love with. She called him AB. I replied that this would be a violation of spiritual law, but I would speak the words for the right man, the divine selection, the man who belongs to her by divine right. I added, if AB was the right man, you can't lose him, and if he isn't, you will receive his equivalent. She saw AB frequently, but no headway was made in their friendship. One evening, she called and said, do you know, for the last week, AB hasn't seemed so wonderful to me. I replied, maybe he is not the divine selection. Another man might be the right one. Soon after that, she met another man who she fell in love with at once and who said she was his idea. In fact, he said all the things that she always wished AB would say to her. She remarked, it was quite uncanny. She soon returned his love and also lost interest of AB. This shows the law of substitution. The right idea was substituted for the wrong one. Therefore, there was no loss or sacrifice involved. Jesus Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. And he said, the kingdom was within man. The kingdom is the realm of right ideas or divine pattern. Jesus Christ taught that man's words played a leading part in the game of life. By your words ye are justified, and by your words ye are condemned. Many people brought disaster into the lives through idle words. For example, a woman once asked me why her life was now one of poverty, of limitations. Formerly, she had a home, she was surrounded by beautiful things, and had often a tired of management with her. the management of her home, and had said repeatedly, I am sick and tired of things. I wish I lived in a trunk. And she added, today I am living in a trunk. She had spoken herself into a trunk. The subconscious mind has no sense of humor, and people often joke themselves into unhappy experiences. For example, a woman who had a great deal of money joked continually about getting ready for the poorhouse. In a few years, she was almost destitute, having impressed the subconscious mind with a picture of lack and limitations. Fortunately, the law works both ways, and the situation of lack may be changed from one of plenty. For example, a woman came to me one hot summer day for a treatment for prosperity. She was worn out, dejected, and discouraged. She said she possesses just $8 in the world. I said, good. Well, we'll bless the $8 and multiply them as Jesus Christ multiplied the loaves and the fishes. For he taught that every man had the power to bless and to multiply, to heal and prosper. She said, what should I do next? I replied, follow intuition. Follow intuition. Have you had a hunch to do anything or go anywhere? Intuition or to be taught from within. It is man's erring guide, and I will deal more fully with this in laws in the following chapter. A woman replied, I don't know. I seem to have a hunch to go home. I've just enough money for the car fare. Her home was in a distant city and was one of lack and limitations. And the reasoning mind or intellect would have said, stay in New York and get work and make some money. I replied, then go home. Never violate a hunch. I spoke the following words to her. Infinite Spirit opened the way for a great abundance for her. She is an irresistible magnet for all that belongs to her by divine right. I told her to repeat it continually also. She left her home immediately. In calling on a woman one day, she linked up with an old friend of her family. Though this friend, she received thousands of dollars in a miraculous way. She has said to me often, tell people about the woman who came to you with $8 in a hunch. There is always plenty on a man's pathway, but it can only be brought into manifestation through desire, faith, and spoken word. Jesus Christ brought out clearly that man must make the first move. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find it. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Matthew 7:7. In the scriptures we read, concerning the works of my hands, ye command me. Infinite intelligence, God is ever ready to carry out man's smallest and greatest demands. Ooh. Y'all think I'm too far. Every desire uttered and unexpressed is a demand. We are often startled by having a wish suddenly fulfilled. For example, one Easter, having many beautiful rose trees in the florist's window, I wished I would receive one, and for an instant saw it mentally being carried in the door. Easter came, and with it, a beautiful rose tree. I thanked my friend the following day and told her it was just what I wanted. She replied, I didn't send you a rose tree. I sent you lilies. The man had mixed the order up and sent me a rose tree simply because I had started the law in action and I had to have the rose tree. Nothing stands between man and the highest ideal and every desire of his heart, but doubt and fear. When a man can wish without worrying, every desire will be instantly fulfilled. I will explain more in the following chapter the scientific reason for this, and fear must be erased from the conscious. It is man's only enemy. Fear of lack, fear of failure, fear of sickness, fear of loss, and the feeling of insecurity insecurity on some plane, Jesus Christ said, "Why are ye fearful? Why, O ye of little faith? Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Matthew 8:26. So we can see we must substitute faith for fear, for fear is only inverted faith. It is faith in evil instead of good. The object of the game of life is to see clearly one's good and to be obliterated all mental pictures of evil. This must be done by impressing the subconscious mind with a realization of good. Visualization of good. A very bright, brilliant man who has obtained great success told me he had suddenly erased all fear from his conscience by reading a sign which hung in the room. He saw printed a letter in large letters, this statement: "Why worry? It will probably never happen." These words were stamped upon his subconscious mind, and he has now a firm conviction that only good can come into his life. Therefore, only good can manifest. In the following chapter, I will deal with the different methods of impressing the subconscious mind. It is man's faithful servant, but one must be careful to give it the right orders. Man has ever a silent listener at his side, his subconscious mind. Every thought, every word is impressed upon it and carried out in amazing detail. It is like a singer making a record on a sensitive disc, on a phonographic plate. Every note and tone of the singer's voice is registered. If he coughs or hesitates, it is registered also. Like me, just trying to catch my voice together as I'm reading this, okay? He also let us break all the old bad records in the subconscious mind. The records of our lives, which we do not wish to keep, and make new and beautiful ones. Speak these words out loud with power and conviction. I now smash and demolish every untrue record in my subconscious mind. They shall return to the dust heap of their native nothingness, for they came from my own vain imaginations. I now make my perfect records through the Christ within. The records of health, wealth, love, and perfect self-impression. This is the square of life, the game completed. In the following chapters, I will show you how man can change his conditions by changing his words. Any man who does not know the power of the word is behind the times. Death and life are the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. You guys, this is the end of chapter 1. Chapter 2 will be coming soon. Chapter 2 is the law of prosperity. Thank you for listening to Unknown Blackness Journey. Please subscribe, comment, or send your own experience in the email in the description box below. If you would like to support this podcast, please click the link in the description box below as well. And you can donate any amount that you would like to help this podcast grow along with our journey. Thank you again for supporting Unknown Blackness Journey, and you have an awesome, awesome day.